Hello, everyone. Welcome to Daniel Burnaby Daily Inspirational Quotes Podcast. To inspire, motivate, and encourage people to obey God's word and serve others through their God-given gift.
Hello, everyone. This is Daniel, Daily Inspirational Quotes. We don't go live in camera today because you have a special guest. We're doing now a audio show. We have Dr. Jerry. He's our special guest today. He's going to talk about a great topic, a great book about the Bible. Welcome, Dr. Jerry. How are you doing today?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. I'm excited about it. And I'm always excited about talking about the Bible and about God.
Praise the Lord. Dr. Jerry, talk to us a little bit about yourself before I turn completely to you, to the topic. Please, talk about yourself, Dr. Jerry.
Sure. I have been blessed all my life, it seems, because I've been able to do many, many things which put me into contact with other people. I was an officer in the Air Force. I flew. I've flight instructed. I've been an executive in three international corporations. I've met very, very important people, so I'm not afraid to talk to anyone. And I find that really people are just people. They all need God, and that's the common denominator. And I've, of course, am an ordained minister, so I've done a lot of preaching and ministering and serving. I was an avid reader as a child and still am. I read just everything I can, particularly about the Bible. But I learned through reading, which my mom pushed me to do. She taught me to read in a special way, which I want to share with other people because it allows me to remember things about what I read without memorizing. And that is the bottom line on the book. The idea of this book is to get people into reading. Now, you refer to me as Dr. Jerry. It's not a medical doctor. I do have a PhD in church administration. I am ordained. I've been through seminaries, several seminaries. And I've retired lieutenant colonel from the Air Force. So I've been around a lot. I've had a lot of careers, but God has always been at the center of it. And I would like other people to be able to feel comfortable as I am with God's word. So here's the secret. It's in the book, and I refer to it as storyfying. I've taught a lot of different subjects, many in science, by the way. And because of that, I have learned to do research. And in my research with Bible topics, I look up regular history, and I present history along with the Bible topics and the Bible stories. But the first step is to really learn to read the Bible as a group of stories. And that is what the book is about. It will, first of all, introduce you, for example, Genesis through Ruth is what's covered in my first book. And in Genesis and every book of the Bible that I cover, I give you a background. And I say, this is the culture. This is who wrote the book. This is why they wrote the book. And this is who they wrote the book to. And this is what the person who was writing the book intended to get across to the people who are reading the book or the words that, that he has written down. So in the time period, I try to relate what the people are like for that time period. And the reason that is important is so that we can identify with those people. So many times we pick up the Bible and we say, well, this is a book about a bunch of shepherds. We just automatically class these people as people who are not as developed as we are. But I want to tell you a real quick story about some tablets that were found, which will change your opinion on who the people in the Bible were.
Where's God?
Tablets were found in Ebla, Syria. Ebla was an important town at the time, and it was destroyed by fire. They had a huge palace and a library inside the palace, and they had written down many important things on these clay tablets. The fire burned the wooden bookshelves, and the tablets gently fell down on each other because they were only like an inch apart, so they didn't break themselves. They were ceramic, of course, because of the fire. It fired them and made them ceramic, so they were well preserved. And the ashes from the bookshelves covered the tablets, which preserved them. Now, the information on these ancient tablets included marriage records and licenses, commercial licenses and contracts, land records, even information about towns and the number of people in the towns along the commercial highways, the terrain, if it was high and difficult to get over. They told you how much a city, a town actually produced in whatever their product was, food or materials or some kind of craft. It was really just like going to a library today and picking out books and being able to read them. But those were not created today. Those tablets were created around 5000 BC.
Wow.
Yes. That's a shocker, isn't it? They were as sophisticated as we are now, but they didn't have the technology.
Okay.
But their trade, their financial records, their taxation, they really were set up very much the same way we are. Now, the tablets that were the newest tablets or the latest tablets when the fire occurred, okay. Those were dated about 2500, 2400 BC.
Wow, and a lot of years.
Yes, and Abraham wasn't even born yet.
Wow.
Abraham was born in 2200 BC, so 300 years after the latest records in Ebla.
Okay.
So, you know, we think of Abraham and we think of an ancient person and maybe he wasn't really very smart, but he was, and he was actually very wealthy. And the commerce from cities like Babylon and Damascus and down in Egypt, those trade routes were sophisticated. They were heavily traveled. They were taxed, of course, by kings in the areas. So when people know that, and that's what I tell my small groups when I teach them, they realize that these people were just like us.
Okay.
And the reason that's important is because God was moving in their lives in very, very strong and real ways. And that was 2500, 2200 BC. Well, if God moved among them, we need to recognize that God moves among us also.
Amen.
And we have, yes, and we have to, we should listen and we should obey. Well, reading the Bible then, of course, becomes central to our direction of life. So people need to get in the Bible on their own. I mean, granted, you can go to Bible classes, and I would encourage that. But you need to read the Bible and understand how to read the Bible, so that you can relate it to other people, and also so that you can get the most out of it. The Bible is not an easy read. It's thick, the print is small, and when you start reading it, it's like reading a different language because it is a different language. It's the Old Testament is based on Hebrew. And Aramaic and Hebrew is a very complex language. They have literary styles like we have poetry, we have analogies, we have drama, any kind of literature form that we have, they have, only it isn't exactly the same as us. When they write poetry, they have techniques that we don't use. But if we know what they're using as a literary form, we can understand it better. Otherwise, we get confused and we take it literally when maybe they're using a metaphor, something that stands in for another word that has another meaning. And we need to be able to spot those different forms so that we can understand it the way it was given, not the way it was translated right into our language, because there's always going to be something confusing about that. So I do a lot of research, a lot of Bible research. I know Hebrew and my wife does the Greek, but I do the Hebrew. And on the basis of stories, or the form of stories in the Bible, that is something this book, Get a Grip, begins with. Because if first you can understand the Bible as a story or a series of stories, you can begin to understand the meaning. And when you can read it as a Bible and remember it and embrace it as your story, that as if you had made it up, but it's the Bible, then God can speak to your heart and apply it to your life. And that is the end goal. So let me tell you a little bit about the organization of the book. It is only Genesis through Ruth, and that's on purpose because God's relationship with man changes several times during that period. And then after Ruth, you get into 1 Samuel and we start getting into the kingdom area. And that has to be approached differently from these first eight books. So the first thing that I do in a chapter, let's say Genesis, is I introduce you, as I said, about, you know, give you the background, the author, when it was written, who the audience was, the time that it was written, and something about the reason that it was written. Then I take you into the learning process, as if that weren't enough. And I tell you one or two short stories from the book, and I explain a few things along the way. And by book, I mean like Genesis. So I'll tell you a few stories about Genesis, and there'll be simple stories in here because I don't want to overwhelm anybody. So they're simple stories that you've probably heard before. And then I'll tell you a few stories in this book that you may not have heard before. Okay. And I'll try to keep it simple, but there's always a point in Scripture, and I try to help you identify the point that's being made. And then I have you read a story on your own. And I have you tell the story. And I ask people who are reading the book, do not try to memorize the story. Learn the story. And there's a difference between memorization and learning. So don't memorize it, but take it as a story. Hear it with your own ears as you read it, and then be able to just tell it back in your own style to somebody else so that you actually embody or embrace the story. And then I'll ask a few questions in the book and say, what did you see that was different about something? You know, I make up the questions as I go along that fit the story, just to see if you got some of the important points. And if you didn't, then you go back and you redo your story thing. I suggest in here as an exercise, I do ask questions that help you in the story-making process. But I ask you to but to learn the story and then tell it out loud to yourself or to somebody else. And eventually, tell it to your mate, because your husband or wife is going to be your toughest critic. They're going to tell you if you're doing it well or not, and they're going to be honest with you. And when it comes down to it, if I asked you, Daniel,
yes,
like in this book, how did you come to Christ? That would be your story.
Exactly.
That's your story. So learning to tell these stories in the Bible, people should embrace the Bible stories the same way that they embrace their own story with Christ.
Amen.
And then be able to share it as comfortably as any story that they were telling. So that is the end goal of the book. And I ask then at the end of a chapter,
okay,
to list two things that you learn in Genesis, or two things in Exodus, and two things as you go through each of the books in this book, two things that you're going to remember, and you're going to be able to say, oh yeah, I remember that Genesis had in it creation, and I remember, there was a flood. Yeah, there was a flood, and Noah was involved in that. And then they might even remember that there was a Tower of Babel. And in the book, I have a picture of what the Tower of Babel probably looked like, which is called a ziggurat. It looks almost like a pyramid, has stairs up all of the sides to the top, and a room at the top. Now, remember that God was with man in the garden. But once sin came, heaven and earth separated, and now God dwelt in heaven, and he could move back and forth, but he wasn't really, it just wasn't the same as walking in the garden with him in the evening. So they built these ziggurats, or these huge pyramids that were just filled with dirt, and they put a room up at the top. And in the room, they had a table, a chair, a little carpet on the floor, and a bed.
Okay.
And they made sure that there was fresh food and drink every day, expecting God to come down and at least be close to them. Maybe not in their midst, but their hope was that God would visit them in these ziggurats. And they used those for centuries. And there are still many of them present in the Middle East that you can go see. And then finally, I supply at the end of each chapter, a chapter being a book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, etc., I supply a list of every story in that book of the Bible and where it begins and where it ends.
Okay.
Because sometimes the stories begin at the end of what we call a chapter. We've got to remember, the Bible wasn't written chapter and verse. Somebody added that. In fact, I had a good friend who he had the Bible memorized pretty much, I think. And he used to quote chapter and verse all the time, chapter and verse. And so I told him, you know, that is intimidating to a lot of people because not everyone can do that. It may sound good, but if you just give them the verses, that's meaningful. And so we had a little debate over that. And for Christmas one year, I gave him a Bible. I had to look all over to get it, but it did not have chapters and verses. It was as okay. if he had picked up the manuscripts. I don't think he ever read it, but okay. but I was kind of making a point to him. So anyway, I give you then all of these stories so that you can look at Genesis, for example, and not think that you've got to read from one story into the next story and maybe read five stories in a day. You know, read a story at a time and then put the Bible down and let God go over it with you in your mind and dwell on it until you finally embody it. That is the way the Bible needs to be read. And we're losing that. And that really concerns me. People are not reading the Bible. And I want to see that change. They should get into it. They should know how to read it. And they should enjoy reading it and be very, very blessed by reading it. And they'll find that they end up doing, like Paul said, praying without ceasing, because they will be thinking about God constantly in everything they do in the day. That is the way we bring about the kingdom of God on earth now.
Praise God. Dr. Jerry, I have a simple question. As you said that we need to read the Bible, another question is a comment. I was reading yesterday a video in a WhatsApp group that a lady sent, says there is a country where somebody try to fast until they die. They say that to be with the Lord. And I realize this is an act of ignorance. Those people didn't know the Bible or never read the Bible, because in the scripture, no one has ever fast until death. Because we can fast 40 days and after no more. If you fast more than that, you're gonna die, because Jesus himself spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting in the book of Matthew chapter 4. But after that, his body needed food. That's why the devil came in to tempt him. And how come somebody tell a church or a congregation to fast until death so that they can go to heaven? For me, I realize this is an act of ignorance. They don't know the Bible. And what you say is true. When we know the Bible, we can discover the truth. And the Bible says in the book of John, we shall know the truth, and the truth and the truth shall set you free. In the past, people that have access to a Bible, only the clergy has had to read the Bible, or the Pope have to read the Bible, or the priest had to read the Bible scripture for people who didn't see what they were saying. But now everybody have access to a Bible. It could be to apt, it could be to YouTube, whatever, all the media now, they are Bible available. And then it's good for us that we can read the Bible of our own to know what the Bible says, to know what God wants us to do, not manipulation of some people. I don't call those people leaders. Some people that tell us, do that, but show me scripture. That's why when you preach expository preaching, every word we say as leaders or pastor, we should quote that or scripture so that people can know what, where that come from. and you have to tell them, open your Bible, the book of this, of that, the book of Genesis, the book of Matthew, so that they can read by themselves what the Bible says. And this is the confusion. Many people come preaching, you know, as motivational Bible preachers. The Bible says, preach the word in season, out of season. And that's why the confusion come. When that lead, that first prophet, I can say, that said to those people, fast until your death. I would say, where the Bible says in that? Some people in that congregation still come out with a word, say, where the Bible says that? You know what I'm saying? And then some misunderstanding the concept of the Bible. It's not about the leaders, it's not about the pastors, it's about what the Bible says. So then we can, with the Bible, we can understand the scripture. We can know exactly what God wants us to do. We're not going to be manipulated by what people says. Amen.
Amen.
Why the Bible says that. So that can be motivated by the Holy Spirit to say, yes, what we say is true, because it's based on the word of God. And thank you, Dr. Jerry, that you focus more. We need to understand the scripture. We need to read the Bible by ourselves. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Dr. Jerry.
Well, I tell you what, you're right about, if you don't know the scripture, you get manipulated. And there are plenty of people out there, unfortunately, who will take advantage of that. And that, again, I mean, you have just made the argument for reading scripture and knowing scripture. And that is certainly my passion, that, you know, I don't want to tell anybody what scripture means. I want them to read it and be comfortable reading it and let God tell them how it applies in their life. Because, you know, and I know, God has done that for us.
Correct. Correct. That's true. And we understand it's time now for churches to wake up from that ignorance of the Bible.
Yes.
And me, I'm against manipulation from the pulpit. I'm against that. And that's why I said, people, educate yourself. Read books. Read the Bible. Because when you know the original information, this is the Bible, this is the word of God, you cannot manipulate you, and you know the truth, and you know what to do, and you're free. Until you know the truth, you'll not be free. People will catch you to do what they want.
Right.
And that's why I say, people, and then we live in a world now, in not a world of fear, is a world that you need to face the reality, to know who you are, where you're going after death, what is your purpose on earth, so that you can follow what God wants you to do, not what mere man tell you to do. You have to understand God's plan for your life. When you knew it, in a place that you don't listen to the truth, you leave. You not belong to anybody. If you go to a congregation, a church, you listen to the pastor message or the leader and realize there's no Bible foundation, you have to leave. But to know it, you have to know it by yourself. You have to get time to read the word, because it's not time for congregation, any Christian, to depend on pastor's message anymore. There's a lot of resources online. There's a lot of resources you can find to know the word of God, to build yourself, to become the woman and man God wants us to be. Because if we depend only on Sunday morning to listen to a short sermon from a leader, you're not going to go. You have to get, you know, yourself motivation to say, I want to know God's word better. And you put your mind to it, and the Holy Spirit will reveal you what the Bible says. And then you will go.
Absolutely.
Yes. And that's true, Dr. Jerry. And I believe that the Lord, you know, listened to everything that you just said. It's time to wake up people from ignorance of the Bible, from ignorance of the truth. so that we can become independent from the Holy Spirit, from the Bible. And then we go here to understand, to discern what the Word God says. You can say, that's from God. That's from Word of God. I'm accept that.
Right.
Kind of thing, say, hey, man, I'm against that. Because another thing, say, amen, that means it's true. But if it's not true, don't say amen. Say, okay.
Okay. You know, the other thing, I'll be real quick here because I know we're probably limited on time, but you know, it's the end goal is not accepting Christ, getting baptized, and then doing some kind of little job in the church. The end goal is that every minute of our lives, we are demonstrating the kingdom come. Christ came and brought his kingdom to earth, and he will return. And it is up to us to be living letters, living epistles of God's word, and live the way the Spirit is leading us to live. And we have to be able to recognize the Spirit and hear the Spirit and follow it. In order to show other people the glory of God through us. It's not us, but it's God. And that is our mission until we die. Dying early, like the story you told about the fasting until you die, absolutely can't be right. Fasting isn't meant for that at all. As you said, it's a time when you cause the body, which is evil, to suffer some, to remind yourself of the grace and power of God, and it strengthens you in the end. And again, see, that's, as you say, that's very wrongly taught, and there is so much that is, and it just it's time to get our heads back in the Bible and get people back in the Bible. Where they understand it, they can apply it, and it can be a joy and a blessing to them.
Amen. That's true, Dr. Jerry. And then I'm glad that you can share with us today the importance of reading the Bible by our own. And it's very important. As we do that, we're going to grow spiritually, intellectually, because the Bible is the greatest book all over the world. And this is
thank you for having me.
And thank you, Dr. Jerry, one more time for all this great information. And then I'm glad to, it's an honor for me to invite you to our show. And then I said to people, even though you don't see our video, it is an audio podcast, not a video podcast. Right. We do it like that so people can listen to us. Not see our face. This is the audio, right, Dr. Jerry?
Righto, and maybe we can do another time when we do the video.
Okay, another time Dr. Jerry can do it with his video. Now, Dr. Jerry wants to do it without video, it's only audio. I believe that next time you're going to do one interview, one preaching with video. And I believe that Dr. Jerry and I will schedule probably next month to do that, okay?
That would be great.
You get some good word you can share with the audience about the Bible, because this is one of the best reason we are here.
Yes.
To encourage people to obey God's word and serve others through the God's given gift. Thank you, Dr. Jerry, for your time. May God bless you more, your ministry, and your family. Have a great evening. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you, Daniel. God bless.
Bye-bye. God bless you more.